The fact that it prints more straight news than any other paper in the world. The Times has more overseas reporters, foreign correspondents, than any other paper. 100 of them, full and part-time. From Formosa to Indochina, Moscow, the capitals of Europe, Paris, with 13 bureau members, and London, where it has 16 members. In this country, the Times has bureaus, staff members in 10 big cities, and stringers, reporters who work on occasion for the Times, in or near almost every average-sized city. Washington is the biggest, 22 men. And soon, the national desk in New York phones down to get an estimate of all the news Washington can supply for the day's paper.
Well, Luther?
Yes, Sam?
Sam Sharkey. Just calling to find out what your general outline and prospects are for the day in the news. What it looks like from the White House?
The New York staff is getting closer to deadline. Radio monitors are listening to Russian propaganda. The Times uses its radio room to receive and send news to ships at sea and to some foreign countries. And at the national desk, an editor and a rewrite man discuss a special story and how it's to be written.
Use just the first paragraph there. When his turn came, Toby urged his colleagues to bring the inquiry to an end. And we'll take all the rest of that out and make a separate story.
This paragraph stands, Mr. Toby referred to it indirectly, however, saying before God.
Yes. He uses some expletives and references to God and hell and damn and all that sort of thing, but use those anyway. That's Toby's way of speaking.
And the city desk, its plans always open to change, gets word of a spot story, something that needs action.
Mr. Gus Murphy, at police headquarters, are on the phone.
Hello.
Yeah, Joe.
Fire? What is it? How big is it?
3 alarm.
Where?
14th and...
the Hudson.
Yeah.
What is it?
Pier?
Right.
Think a photographer is necessary? Okay, I'll take care of it.
Times Square is busy now, not knowing or caring about the activity going on in the newspaper plant. But up on the famous Times building, they call it Times Tower now, headlines are beginning to sparkle. And James Torpe is setting the letters that will soon flash through a million feet of wire and light up some of 16,000 bulbs as it speeds around 380 feet to announce the death in Hollywood of a radio and movie star.
N-A-M-N-Y. Fanny Bright. B-R-I-C-E.
Star Fanny Bryce dies at 59. Millions of people, New Yorkers and visitors, have watched this sign flash its news. We asked Mr. Torpe when it all began.
First night that this sign started was the night of the Al Smith Hoover election in 1928, which was one of the biggest crowds ever in Times Square, to see it to go into operation. That was the night the favorite in New York lost, our Al Smith. He was defeated by Herbert Hoover, and I might say at this time that we nicknamed both these machines. Number one machine we call Herbert after Herbert Hoover, and number two machine we call Al after Al Smith. I might tell you a little story in regards to Al machine. Every time a big bulletin is about to break, Al starts to squeak. And as sure as shooting, we're in for a big news story that night.
News is many things.
Ruth, what in the world is that delicious dish you're doing?
It's rigatoni.
And what is the chicken with it?
That's Roman-style chicken.
And you're using my... What is
you are listening to the food editor and the home economist discussing a recipe.
No, that's
the Times tests every recipe it prints. News is many things. Even on a paper that invites its readers to seek entertainment elsewhere. You are now standing on the fourth floor of the Times building in the composing room, listening to some of the 105 typesetting machines. It is here that the work of the editorial workers and the advertising salesman and food editor and radio editor, the military analyst and the book reviewer, the map maker and the editorial writer, the photographer and the stock market tabulator, the obituary editor, the theater critic, here it all comes together. And the machines spell out the words others have written. Giant typewriters with letter molds making an impression on molten metal, then returning to their banks. The metal going on to print. Most of the pages have now been set in their forms. And now another deadline, 10:20 p.m. is press time. Page one is almost ready. News editor Ted Bernstein supervises.
Oh, Joe, do you know where this subhead is on Funston for page one?
I have it over here.
Have you got it over there, Ben? Well, let's use that for this edition. Oh, Richie, see if you can run down that two-column cloister line that goes over the cut for page one. Okay, let's get that Korea hanger in right away. Now, there's the cloister line to go over the picture. What corrections have you got out now?
I got four more lines coming up in here.
The printer on page one checks his corrections, reads upside down and backwards a late paragraph that has not had time to be read by a proofreader. Soon, the people the Times influences, its 500,000 subscribers, presidents and ambassadors and other working people, will be reading it too.
...by a heavy artillery barrage crossed the Hongchang River in central Korea. The infantry invaded waist-deep in the stream as they moved alongside their armored vehicles.
You got any more corrections, Gunner?
No more corrections.
We got 20 seconds. Let's go right after you get that head in.
The mallet pound down the type. The form is locked. The page is ready. And a little table carrying page one is pushed to the map makers. They cover the type with a map, a heavy blotter, a papier-mâché sheet. Then they push it under a heavy roller. The pressure will capture the imprint of the type on the map. The type goes back to be melted, and the map goes down to the stereotype room. Here, the papier-mâché mats are curved, placed in casting machines. Hot lead pours against it. The bell rings, and out comes a plate. A curved 43-pound image of what the press will turn into a printed page. As the new plates are cast, the old ones are dumped into an oven to be melted to supply the lead for yet another new page. Now the plate goes to the press, and a little trolley built into the floor, a conveyor, carries it, marked by a number, past the presses, where it will be recognized and removed from the line. We're in the press room now. The bells you're about to hear are warning signals. They warn the pressmen that certain units are moving. Take care. And the heavy plates, as they come from the stereotype room, are inserted on the press. 8 plates on a roller. And we're almost ready to roll. We start slowly at first and then build up to top speed. It's a 72-page paper tonight, and it will need 55 of the Times' 95 press units, 10 complete presses. The Times presses can print, fold, and count as many as 45,000 papers an hour, top speed. Upstairs, the reporters and the editors, the copy desk men and the critics are doing their work, adding to and correcting and changing the first papers off the press. And down here in the two-story basement press room, the pressmen are watching and checking their units to be sure that the ink feeds are working, the pages are in proper position, properly feeding into the folders. The Times will consume 300 tons of newsprint tonight. More than enough to print 150,000 to 300-page novels. It will use 5 tons of ink, enough ink to print 5 million single-dollar bills. The raw paper alone costs $30,000 tonight, but you can buy it for a nickel. This is only the first edition. In 2 hours at top speed, these presses can turn out more pages than the first New York Times could print in a full year, 100 years ago. But tonight, they're printing only enough to meet the demands of the circulation room. You're listening to an addressing machine, stamping the name of individual subscribers on the paper. Before the night is over, circulation will have cleared papers for 12,000 different towns and cities, for every state in the Union. And 41 copies will go to Russia, 8 to Formosa. And the subscriber in Tahiti need merely stand by.
Philadelphia coming out. Boston next, watch it.
The New York Times is starting on its way to distant subscribers and to libraries in every state, to 69 foreign countries. Soon it will be in the air. Maps for a special edition will be flying to Paris, to be turned into an international air edition, for distribution in most countries of Europe and most parts of Asia. And there will be bulk packages, tied by mechanical and pneumatic machines, wired for shipment on 100 trucks to meet 37 railroad trains, 28 plane flights. You hear the big bundles thrown into the trucks, eager to get away to make their schedules.
South Station, man!
And now you're back upstairs in the news department. The teletypes are still working, bringing in more news. And the reporters are writing new stories for the next edition. The editors are correcting mistakes in the first edition. The clock goes round. At 15 minutes after midnight, the presses start again for the late city edition. And then, more corrections, changes, more late news added. And at 4:30 a.m., if it's a quiet night, the word goes down to the mechanical departments, good night. And the final press run of 50,000 papers with the late news starts. The shop is closing for the day here in New York as the presses start their final run. Times reporters throughout the world will be on the job by now, covering their beats, getting your stories ready for tomorrow's paper. And in this 100th year of the New York Times and all the news that's fit to print, publisher Sulzberger reads approvingly an editorial that appeared in his paper at the beginning of the year.
We do not set foot in this second century with a careless optimism that all will be well. All is not well, and all will not be well. But the challenge to stand by lofty principles and to advance our ideals remain. We who are engaged in the making of this newspaper have confidence that this generation will not flinch, and that the generations which come after us, after we have laid down our tools and closed our desks for the last time, will keep the faith.
All right, wait, wait, Times, just stop. Tribune News, the Mariner, all right. All right, wait, wait, Times, just stop. Tribune News, the Mariner, all right. All right, wait, wait, Times, just stop. Tribune News, the Mariner, all right.
You have just heard program 25 in the CBS series, Hear It Now, a document for ear based on the week's news. Hear It Now is edited and produced by Edward R. Murrow and Fred W. Finley, and a CBS staff which includes Edmund Scott, Jesse Zausner, Irving Gitlin, John Aaron, and Joseph Wershberg. Portions of the program originated at WTOP Washington, WEEI Boston, WJR Detroit, WMBD Peoria, WBBM Chicago, WLAC Nashville, WGR Buffalo, KNX Los Angeles, and KCBS San Francisco. Combat recordings were made in Korea by CBS correspondents Robert Pierpoint and John Jefferson. Olin Tice speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is WD...